views on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello again. Sunday morning. We're here every Sunday morning from 8 to 10.
That's the plan anyway.
We are about as predictable as three people could be, I think. I mean, you know we're always here. You just never know what we're going to pull off.
Exactly.
So you're listening to We the People Radio. And we are at KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State. If you're interested in giving us a call this morning, the number is 530-605-4567. And if you're a chat fan, go to wethepeopleradio.us, and we are chatting and streaming live. So no matter where you're at, no excuses. You need to tune in.
Exactly. And participate.
And participate. And we talk about everything under the umbrella of limited government, fiscal responsibility, and adherence to the Constitution. And
we dream about limited government, actually.
Yeah, back when we were wee babes, I think. And you know what? It's amazing that such a broad umbrella that just about everything involving your personal life, your dreams, your wishes, your hopes fit under that umbrella. That's why you need to tune in. Yeah. And you need to go to wethepeopleradio.us, go to the webpage, click on any link from any show that we've ever done. It's an individual file. You can email it out anywhere. We talk about things that you don't hear in the mainstream media, or if you do, you hear them in tiny sound bites. Yeah, very manipulated.
And, well, the thing is, a lot of times there isn't time. Shows aren't formatted to do, like, the rest of the story. So we like to do that. And if you have ideas for programs, we want them.
Yeah.
You know, if you've read a really awesome book, you saw somebody on the news, but I don't know.
I've got a couple of calls out on some interesting private property rights.
Do you? Yeah. See? There's a lot of fun stuff going on out there. They don't have to be famous. They just need to be smart about what they do.
So, interesting week this week. You know, we don't always focus on things that are happening in our immediate area, but did want to chat a little bit about some things that that we learned this week. We had a gentleman by the name of Tom Valancourt call in and to join us on a Monday evening program and gave us an amazing presentation on the true cost of Obamacare. And you can't dispute the math.
And all those of you who got paid in January, I'm sure you really loved your check.
Yeah, should have been smaller than it was in December.
Yep, yep. The tax stuff has changed. And if you live in the state of California, you know, we had the preponderance of the people voted to make your check even smaller, which was super brilliant because I'm sure they won't waste the money.
No, not at all. So, actually, it was an incredible presentation, and at some point in the near future, you can find that video on...
Actually, Robert's almost done with it.
Yeah, great. So you can go to 24hourpatriots.com and pick up... Is that you or me?
I don't know. Oh. I muted.
And, and view that video. It's probably a good hour and a half. I highly recommend it. It's totally nonpartisan. It doesn't matter which side of the fence you're on. It doesn't matter if you're straddling the fence. You need to watch this because it plays out over the next 2 or 3 years, and you're going to be a little shocked and actually pretty disheartened by how the numbers pan out because of Obamacare.
Exactly.
Second thing we did is our police chief in our local area gave a presentation on crime statistics. No matter where you live, if you're experiencing difficulties with crime, chat with your local officials and talk them into giving a town hall because it brought a lot of people out, about 300. And
yeah, I heard it was packed.
It was packed.
Missed it. I was out of town.
Yeah. So lots of stuff going on out there. And then we're going to chat a little bit later about a special event coming up for the veterans in February. Actually, we're in February, so it'll be a little later this month, and we'll go into a few more details later.
There. Couldn't get my stupid computer to come on. Okay, stupid computer. I got it. All right. So we've got, we had lots of changes for this morning's program. Those of you who thought you were going to hear from, Pete Wright on, Wright's Law, we're not doing that because, he was flying home and, His wife told him he wasn't allowed to be on the radio because he had people coming to his house for a Super Bowl party.
Uh-oh, the wife always has the final word.
I thought it started way later today, but apparently this is a full day affair at their house.
He did not check with his wife first.
No, he did not.
Shame on him.
He did not get permission to be on the program, so therefore he is not on the program.
But you're saying Mr. Right turned out to be Mr. Wrong.
He did. Mr. Right turned out to be Mr. You need to find a new show tomorrow, and that was yesterday at 5.
Always ask your wife first.
I know. I should have called his wife. I didn't know. I've never met him. So for those people who tuned in on that, he's not coming. But you should listen anyway. You're going to like this program. For the first little bit, we've interrupted a pancake breakfast to get the 411 from our congressman here in the 1st Congressional District of California and find out what it's really like when you go back there. Because, you know what, people think it's just fancy and it's cushy and it's just, you know, people bring you things on silver plates, I think, and you know, it's really a different picture than that.
So money grows on trees.
Yeah, money grows on trees. So we thought we'd get a little inside view of what's happening there. So Congressman LaMalfa, are you hiding on our hold button there?
Not hiding, right here in front of everybody. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. So you're flipping pancakes for what group this morning?
This is the Ord Bend Volunteer Fire Department here down at their community hall. Ord Bend is a little burg just south of Hamilton City, which is just east of Orland here in Glenn County. So it's a great tradition here. You got both types of bikers that come through. There should be a bunch of motorcycle guys coming by here later, and then the bicycle folks too, as well as all the community. So yeah,
and you know, nothing tastes better outside than breakfast. Pancakes taste amazing when you're outside, don't you think?
Yes, I just snuck one a little while ago while I was on hold here, and so I just, you know, finger food, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
So how fancy is it back there in Washington since you've been there for, like 3 weeks?
Well, there's kind of a two-tiered approach here. There's a Harry Reid approach where you live in the Ritz-Carlton, and there's
is it really?
Kind of the one me and some of my other new mates have adopted there, where we're living on an inflatable air mattress in our office. So it could be, I guess, whatever you make out of it. So I'm pretty cheap on my own, so I couldn't get into the idea of a $1,700 a month cracker box apartment. So right now, that's the accommodation. So.
And Congressman, I know how cheap you are because I have had the pleasure of removing some of your campaign signs from dirt, and I saw how those were put together. And I saw that they were used.
They were cobbled together, I believe is the appropriate word.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're using our 2002 ones over again, just, you know, cut off the parts that are inappropriate or tack on a piece that's new or a sticker or whatever. Keep using the same stuff. So that's what us farmers do out in the field as much as possible.
Yeah, so hopefully you can teach them about that back there. I was surprised when you had told us before how many people sleep in their office.
Yeah, I don't have a poll on that here, but it's somewhere between 50-60 is what I understand. So
see, I would have thought there were like
one of them who had lived outside came back. So got tired of the race there. So, you know, it's not all glamour and bright lights, although, you know, we certainly have certain things we get to do that are special because of where we are, and it's a neat thing. But, you know, that said, it's going to be what you make of it, and it's what your attitude coming in. You know, in 2010 was kind of a pretty big Tea Party wave of Republican members there. A lot of them just said, look, you know, I don't even want to live in this town. They just wanted to do the office thing and, you know, spend the minimum amount of time there in order to do their job well, but get back home to the district.
And, you know, that's what a lot of legislators in a lot of other states actually do. They don't all pick up stakes and move to Washington, D.C. They go in for the legislative session, and then they go back home.
Sure.
Well, yeah, and what's good about the session as it is now is that there's been different ways to schedule the House and its work, and the Democrats seem to like to be there 5 days a week every week, and the Republican plan since 2010 has been 2 weeks on, 1 week off, more or less, through the year. So your third week, the week off, is actually your district work week, where you can get out there and, you know, be in touch with we the people and have the meetings and get around to the constituents that actually sent you there to begin with. So I like this plan here because it isn't all just sitting in Washington thinking up new ideas to tax or regulate. So we can do our work in, you know, basically 2 4-day periods in a 21-day cycle is more or less how it works. You know, so some of these months are going to be more intense than others with deadlines and committees and things. But so I like that approach because it just tries to keep the reality of things a little more, you know.
That's cool. And maybe give people a little rundown on now that you have some subcommittees to go with ag and natural resources. Some of us just found out about that last week, so I'm guessing a lot of people don't know.
Yeah, we're on three subcommittees in natural resources here. One is has to do with the public lands, which means we're going to be looking over the shoulder of Forest Service and NOAA and some of those people like that.
Nice.
You know,
Erin's so, rubbing her hands together.
Yes.
She just needs a mustache. She just needs a mustache to tweak.
I was twirling my fake mustache.
As well as the Water and Power Committee, and then there's a committee on Native tribes and other issues in that. And then over we're on the House Committee on Agriculture as well. Two committees there. One is on most of the main grain crops and other things to do in the USDA, and then the second committee is one called horticulture and other specialty crops, as well as bees and honey. So that's kind of a quick overview of those five committees. So we're going to have plenty to do, but they're largely issues that have to do with much of what goes on in our district are the things that are related to the district here. So I think it's a pretty good fit. So.
Yeah. The folks that are concerned about the Klamath Dams were super excited about Water and Power.
Yes. And then also, some level of oversight of the folks that are trying to, put in some of that regulation. So, you know, it's all what you make of it here. So we got some, really good, bright committee chairman on this, Frank Lucas on Ag Committee from Oklahoma, who's just a really good, amiable guy. And then Doc Hastings is a resources chairman up in the state of Washington there where they get it on, hydroelectric power and the need for that kind of storage and, you know, the renewable green power that hydroelectric is, even though they don't want to give you credit for it. So, you know, it's exciting. Our committee work, we'll be starting pretty soon. We just did our organizational meetings last week. I was there, so we're on our way.
Nice. And then in the subcommittees, how many people would be on a subcommittee approximately? I mean, is it dozens of people?
They range. They vary. The committees are different size. Like, there's a whole pack of people on the Ag Committee. So the subcommittees with five of them, I imagine there's going to be, you know, I haven't really counted them up yet because we haven't really done that work, but I imagine at least 12 on each of those subcommittees would be a pretty close number.
Well, that's a size that you can get stuff done, actually.
Yeah, because the full committee there is, you know, ranging from 35 to 50 is pretty big. So you know what it's like trying to get a group of 50 people to get something done in a short amount of time. That's why it's smart to have committees where you're actually doing the work in any much smaller workable size, and then you take your work and present that to the group as a whole and see if you're in the ballpark. Otherwise, you go back and work it again.
Well, that's kind of great. And so, you know, I know you have to go back and you know, you've got people there looking at you. What are you doing on the phone?
I'm outside in an almond orchard right now, so they're not watching me.
Oh, nice. I was like, you know, oh, it's okay. Why is he working? He's talking on the phone. What else do you think people, I mean, some of us have been to Washington, D.C., but none of us have ever worked in Washington, D.C. When you actually go there to work, how, like, is a regular work day like 8 to 5, or how does it go? Does it vary?
Well, you know, the official work doesn't start till probably, you know, some of your morning meetings might be at 8:30, some might be at 8. But when you're getting into the official, like, committee meetings or first votes or some of the speeches on the floor, generally those are going to be 9 a.m., which is Eastern time, which is 6 a.m. our time. So, you know, they do defer a little bit to the West Coasters that kind of come dragging in on sometimes on a red eye or whatever. It's about, from where we sit in my area, it's about a 9-hour cycle to leave my house and walk in the office in D.C. or so. So going back from west to east is an all-day project. Coming home, since you're picking up time, you know, going in the direction of the time zones, it's more like, you know, leave it. I don't know. You leave the office maybe at 3:30 on the getaway day, and then you land on the ground in Sacramento about 9 p.m. So it's different that way. Whereas when you're going west to east, leave the house at 5 in the morning and get back there at about 5 in the afternoon. So
yeah, so you lose a lot of time just
traveling,
just flat with the travel part, and then
About I'm going to propose after a few years, I'm going to propose that we move the U.S. Capitol to Reno. It'll be our turn on the West for a while.
I think that's a good idea. You should get to choose. Yeah. And then back there in that particular office for that district, there are at least three people from California, staff people.
Oh, our staffers? Yeah, we have
three,
two... kind of four so far that are very familiar with the district or came from here or come from so we have a good mixture of folks that actually know what the map looks like around here, and then we have folks that we haven't all hired up yet because there's so much over undefined yet on what the House budget is going to be with sequestration and everything else, you know, just like everybody else, right? So we have a couple more hires of staff that we haven't made yet, but generally we're going to need a mix of people that are D.C. folks that know where the levers are to pull and buttons to push in the process around here, so we have a good mix of district reality and how to do things to be effective back there when your committees and such. So we're working that out right now, and our district folks are largely intact from coming over from the Senate side, and we have, you know, our Oroville office, our Redding office, and we have our great Redding crew is still with us, and we have a mix of folks down in the Oroville office, which is kind of our flagship one there, which is right near my home. So it's working out pretty nice.
That's cool. And this is a tricky deal. You know, setting up this office. Nobody takes care of anything for you. You know, you guys have to do all the budget and you've got to figure everything out. You're at the top of the food chain. There's nobody overseeing it, huh? Or dictating,
well,
I guess.
Like, not like the state either, where, you know, maybe if you screw up on your budget and overspend a little bit, maybe you can just go whine to the speaker or the Senate pro tem and they might give you a little bit more money or maybe not. If you screw up your budget at the federal level, it comes out of my pocket. So if we overspend, it really comes home. But, you know, that said, we need to perform in a way with our office assets as if, you know, you kind of treat it as if it was your own anyway, in the way you need to be careful with it. So we have to set the example because we're certain trying to set it for the nation's budget and how we conduct, the national business. So, yeah, it's a little undefined right now because there's a lot of upheaval and things just not done with the federal budget, which does affect the House one. So,
and what's the now when you guys go back next week, what are you expecting to get hit with?
Well, you know the issues that are up right now. The
gun.
The thing that we should really be tackling, and this is something that we made a pretty good play on before we left, was that the budget of the United States hasn't been passed by both houses in almost 4 years. You know, the House has done theirs. Paul Ryan's led the way on doing a good U.S. House one, you know, one that moves in a direction here. U.S. Senate hasn't done one in over 3.5 years, and we finally threw down the gauntlet, and part of the legislation that went out was called No Budget, No Pay. So if the senators aren't going to get their budget done, why should they continue to get paid? And so their budget, their paycheck would be sequestered until something comes of that. So, you know, it's not the biggest, strongest measure in the world that you could ever do, but it certainly goes in the right direction. And I think what's even more important about it is that it's got the dialogue going amongst the American people, like, why aren't those senators getting their job done? Why are they getting paid to not do a budget? So it's helped us redefine the playing field instead of just, oh, you Republicans want to shut down the government here and all this and that. Instead, we're talking about the more important things of actually how things operate in our government here. And that's going to bring the whole discussion around to why aren't you balancing your budget? Because the Ryan plan is trying to move towards a 10-year budget balancing, which, you know, to regular people in the United States, well, sure is a long time, but, you know, the realities of the politics around here, it's going to be hard enough to do that and bypass the media and all the, you know, victimhood stuff that we're going to see doing that. But it's an ambitious plan that we want to move in the right direction. And also, we want to smoke out Harry Reid and say, okay, what does you guys plan? Because we hear there's up to $3 trillion in new tax increases and a bunch of new spending to go with it. So, by getting them to the table, and finally, because we smoked them out on that, we hear Chuck Schumer and others over there saying, oh yeah, we're going to do a budget. We, you know, we meant to do that. So,
it was our plan all along.
yeah, we planned it all the time, really, not just because you guys say no budget, no pay. So we are going to start seeing what they're really made of over on the U.S. Senate side and what their priorities are. So that's what's going to be a good thing in smoking this out here, that they'll finally put something on the table and the American people will say, okay, is the House plan moving in the direction of trying to get something truly balanced, or do they like the Senate plan just spending more and more and adding more and more to our debt and our fiscal problems?
Well, we hope that works, because honestly, if we don't get the debt, if we don't do something to take a bite out of the debt, it's going to, it ultimately will take a bite out of us, but it'll be sooner rather than later if something doesn't change.
Well, this ship has been on this course for so long.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to turn the thing around quickly, and really hard, but, you know, I mean, I've always been very fiscally frugal. I guess we talked about that at the beginning. And especially when you're talking about other people's money. These are tax dollars. And when they're taken from people, you know, these aren't contributions like they say, you know, euphemistically, like, oh, we're going to take your contributions and invest them. No, this is your hard-earned money. It comes from the force of government taking it from you. So if we're not being careful with it, then we're disrespecting the people's hard work. Because it is your paycheck, but even more so, what I look at, it's your time. You have to spend your precious time in life to go earn what you get. And so when your paycheck comes back smaller because of the hijinks at the end of the year, because of the new things in Obamacare, because of some of this stuff. By the way, we're not calling it Obamacare anymore. We're calling it the government health takeover, okay? The federal government health takeover. These euphemisms they're getting away with, I'm just getting tired of, because they kind of misdirect what they really are. That, and then the term assault weapons. It's not assault weapons. These are sporting rifles, okay? Let's not let them use these terms. So
I like that. And I flipped over one of the newspapers on my dog walking route this morning, since I don't take the thing. And anyway, I flipped the thing over, and apparently Obama likes to go out skeet shooting, and they're outraged.
He does.
Apparently so. It was on the front page of the paper. So
yeah, I heard this something the other day. I don't really believe that.
I didn't actually read the story, but that was the headline right on the front page of the paper, and I thought, wow, slow news day.
I don't see many photo ops like that, you know, like Kerry and those guys.
No, but, you know, maybe you could talk to some folks back there and see if we could scare something up. All right. Well, we've got to take a commercial, and I know how much you love waiting, so we probably better let you go play pancakes, huh?
You mean like the stoplight death march or something? Yeah,
pretty much.
I should get back to work here. So thanks for having me on this morning, and I think, going to turn the corner here, even though it's pretty tough with the press and the White House beating us all the time. We're going to have some good strides, I think, in these efforts. So, and on the gun stuff, I think we're going to beat it back. But everybody keep making those calls and letters on that, too. So
well, thanks a lot for all you're doing back there for us.
Thank you.
We appreciate
it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for popping in.
Bye. See you later.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, pancake break at this point. We're not getting any, but we do need coffee. My coffee's in the wrong room. I didn't bring it in. Nice music, Bob. We'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes. We're going to be talking to Dave Hodges from the Common Sense Show. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Community Radio for the North State.
Advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags. It's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Jones's Fort, Redding's full-line gun shop, offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Redding's full-line gun shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Redding area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find a gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have 4 full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
So, Chris, second Tuesday in February is at Mazatlan's.
I'm packed and ready to leave.
Not in Mazatlan, at Mazatlan Grill Mexican Restaurant.
I was looking forward to a vacation in Mexico.
Won't you join us Tuesday, February 12th at Mazatlan Grill on Hilltop Drive for some great Mexican food and good company as Mazatlan Grill donates a percentage of their proceeds to Haven Humane Society. It's all about helping the animals and an evening out with friends.
I still need a vacation.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab, and we'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county, no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab, and we will do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call us at 222-1234.
It's Drake and Bill.
Hey, Drake.
Hey, Bill.
Don't you just love sunbathing in the park?
Yeah, Drake. It's so relaxing just soaking up the sun. Better be careful, though. Don't want your bill to get sunburned.
Hey, Bill. You see what I'm seeing?
Oh!
That lady's dog's about to... Oh, no, not there. Oh,
ew. Why did you make me look at that?
Oh. No, it's cool. She's prepared. She brought a bag to clean it up. Check it out. Turn the bag inside out. Scoop. All gone. Like it never happened.
Ah, she's smart. Probably knows that if that stuff gets into the storm drains, it's going to pollute rivers and streams.
Ugh, dogs are disgusting.
What Drake and Bill are trying to say is not everyone understands that our storm drains can flow directly into our streams and rivers. Pollutants can cause adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even ducks. This message brought to you by the City of Reading Public Works Stormwater Program.
Thanks to your faithful and generous support, the Good News Rescue Mission is able to help people transform their lives from addictions and homelessness to becoming productive citizens again. In addition to a highly successful free recovery program, the mission, over the past 5 years, has provided over 1,800 chapel services, 360,000 nights of emergency shelter, and more than 1 million hot meals to our neighbors. Thank you again for helping to transform lives. I am Cesar Partida. This is the Good News, and this is our mission.
For more info, go to GNRM.org.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
I kind of like to be the president. Yeah. So I can show you how your money's spent.
Oh, my. That is a pipe dream, isn't it?
That is hilarious.
Or at least Doug can show us how our money's spent.
Exactly.
So you're joining We the People Radio, and I failed to mention
what?
That you were joining your hosts, Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and Bob Martin. Forgot to mention that.
But we have Dave Hodges, who's a radio host, so we can be the guest now.
We had a congressman on the line. We had to go immediately to him.
Yes, but I did my fair share of chit-chatting in the beginning, and I still forgot to mention it. So, I digress.
Well, you take precedence over Congressman LaMalfa. That's cool.
Hey.
Well, we promised to be in and out. It was like, okay. give us an update, because once everything goes for the next couple of weeks, it just gets a little kooky. You know?
It is nice to hear from him periodically in the big picture, because the best you can do is read your local news, and we know how that goes. So that would not be my source of true information.
Unless you want to kick it over on someone's driveway and just read the headlines.
Because you don't want to buy the rag.
What a hater. Ooh, that was well-timed. Your comment or mine. Wow. Had a pop.
Okay.
Go ahead. Segue. I dare you.
Let me tell you what I really think.
Bob's going to have to beep you. I can feel it. All right.
You can always read it online.
The frivolity's almost over. Dave Hodges has some... Just what he told me yesterday was like... I feel stressed. Dave's
more
got
scary stuff.
Dave's got some scary stuff. Actually, I would encourage people to go to wethepeopleradio.us at some point in time. I would encourage you to look at the page for today's program, because Dave's a great writer and he has articles about the things that we will be discussing today. And I told him it was totally up to him. He could do it however he wants.
Good morning, Dave.
So we're not going to blow your cover, Dave.
It's great to have you back again.
Well, it's good to be back.
We need regular updates.
I don't get up early on Sunday mornings for just anybody.
Thanks.
You know what? That is true, and we really appreciate that. Because, although what? You got an hour on us, right?
Certain times of year.
I get to sleep in. I mean, I'm having too much fun, and I'm too busy uncovering all the bad things that the communists running the government want to do to us.
There's so many of them and so few of us. Tell us, before we get carried away on the topics, you are the host of the Common Sense Show. So,
yes, I am.
Rather than, read your little bio here, tell folks the salient details that will give them a nice picture of you.
Well, I'm a retired college basketball coach. I'm a professor. I've taught STAT, currently teach research, basic other psychology courses. I'm a victim of the New World Order through the North American Union, where they tried to steal my land and that of 300 of my neighbors 9.5 years ago. And I ended up being the spokesperson for my community, and one thing led to another, and somehow I ended up behind a microphone.
That sounds vaguely familiar.
I was going to say, actually, we resemble that remark.
Yeah, we do,
except for the land part. So you were going to be jammed up in a big eminent domain grab.
No, eminent domain would have been a mercy killing for us.
Oh,
what they wanted to do, excuse me, is just to take or force us off our land. They passed regulations that said we couldn't rebuild if we had a fire or storm damage, and we couldn't add on to our homes, couldn't build a fence. It was some nonsense about being in the way of an Air Force base overflight 30 miles away from us, and they have to fly over 300,000 people to get to us. What we really found out was we lay between a Canamex corridor and a Canamex infrastructure hub station, and we happen to sit on the state's largest underground water aquifer.
And Dave, you may have mentioned this, but where do you live?
North of Phoenix, out in the country.
Okay.
And I moved to get away from the crap, and I landed right in the middle of the toilet. And just that's how things go. And so I got locked into a battle with the John McCain forces, and we've held them off for 9.5 years, and life is relatively normal, and my worldview changed significantly. I mean, I was just one of those dumb, asleep sheep that's walking around the country, that's probably just most of them tuning into your show and my show and trying to figure out what's going on. And, boy, did I get an education, because that opened the door to the North American Union. I actually had met through this a gentleman who offered to help, Bob Dacey, who used to be Alex Jones's guest host. And Bob says, oh, you're dealing with the North American Union and Canamex. And then I went and looked at it, and I said, oh, my gosh, you're right. All the factors are there. We ran the odds. Remember, I used to teach that. And we found that the odds of this being a coincidence were 65 million to 1.
Wow.
And so, bingo. Of course, in the local media that's, you know, controlled by McGraw-Hill and all their little friends and the Clear Channel radio stations. Sorry if I'm offending anybody, but they told me I was a conspiracy nut, 65 million to one. Didn't know what I was talking about, 65 million to one. But eventually, we were able to take this fight nationwide, and it was a tension that John McCain really didn't want as he was going into his pursuit of being a presidential candidate, because I promised his people that we'd follow him right to Connecticut when they opened up the campaigning. And we got the Goldwater Institute to step up and actually take these villains to court, and they acquiesced on the courthouse steps. And so it's semi-life as normal, but this Canamex situation is probably 15 to 20 years away from becoming actual construction in my area. So I don't think that we're totally out of the woods, but I'm a lot more wiser now than I was when I first started. I actually thought at one time, believe it or not, this is how naive I was, I actually thought there was justice in the courts.
Oh wow, you were naive.
I actually thought that most politicians really did give a darn about their constituents. Now, I did have one politician here who was our local state senator named Jack Harper. He actually did step up to the plate and do some things to help us. Most of them, though, just labeled me as a conspiracy nut. And the Arizona Republic, our state's largest paper, oh, what a communist rag this place is. I sat down with the editorial board, Anita Hawthorne James, and I want to give her all the credit she deserves. My wife and I went, and they were interviewing us to do an editorial. She leaned across the table, and she goes, oh, you've got all the good legal arguments, Mr. Hodges, but for the good of the community, the state, and the country, you should get off your land. And I said, without compensation? And she said, yes.
Oh, wow.
Nice to know our communists are also running the editorial boards of our newspapers.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going around. Well, and then where was McCain on this whole thing? AWOL?
Well, his people were behind the scenes at our state legislature working hard to subjugate us. And I began to call him out, and I began to get threats. Oh, he doesn't like what you're saying. And, you know, you really don't want him as an enemy. Now, I can't prove it, but one night in 2004, I was driving home after coaching a game on our campus, and I was on this lonely highway pretty much by myself, driving in the right-hand lane, and someone ran up behind me. This is an interesting story. They ran up behind me, put their brights on me, began to harass me, and then I came up on the exit that I take to go to my country home. I took it. They followed me. I pulled over. They passed me. I came ahead. They followed me. Now it's time for 911. And so I'm on with Maricopa County Sheriff's Department. You know, the Joe Arpaio, the famous sheriff, takes no nonsense. Well, a chase ensued, lasted about 12 minutes, all recorded while I'm on with 911 on speaker. Finally, I was able to lose these people. 12 minutes, no help. Oh, we'll send an officer. We'll have him call you by cell phone. I said, yeah, just draw chalk around the body when you find me. Thanks so much for your help. So eventually I made my way home, and I got a call about an hour later from a sheriff's deputy, And the first thing out of his mouth, what did you do to provoke this?
Jeez.
So then I tried to inquire. I was going to not let this go. I was going to take this into the media. So I tried to get the 911 tapes. There was about 15 minutes of 911 tapes on this. And they were missing. They couldn't find them.
Wow.
Now, I can't prove it. I attribute this to the John McCain thugs. Because this is when things were getting hot and heavy, and this is when I was threatened in a meeting at the state capitol that the good senator didn't like what I was doing. The good senator whose wife's family has mafia connections going all the way back to bootlegging, runs illegal guns. I hope John's listening this morning.
I hate to say this, but it's probably not going to happen. I mean, we're pretty important, but I don't know. In his world?
A pretty far reach. I actually did an interview in Wickenburg, Arizona, where I ended up actually starting my radio broadcasting career locally, and they heard about it. Wickenburg, a town of 6,000 people, 50 miles north of Phoenix, and believe it or not, I got an email from them, said very unflattering things you said about the senator. So that's how I got started in this whole thing. And then I found out, well, this North American Union Canamex thing is only the beginning. If you really look at the logical end game that the globalists and the Obamanites want for us, they want about 90% of us gone.
Yeah, and you got a little intel on that too, eh?
I have a lot of intel. That's a real good segue. That's very good.
Isn't that nice?
Hey, talk show host to another. But, I'm going to say something that sounds outrageous. The only problem is I know these people. In fact, I knew one of the families quite well. Still have some email communication with them. FEMA and the CIA. I've had two inside sources for a while. And they have fed me data. The one person's fed me data, along with a DHS source I have for over 5 years. And they've never been wrong. Never been wrong, not one time. And then my FEMA source has fed me information, never been wrong, shorter length of time. Well, the FEMA source, I've gotten to know the family fairly well, and they and other retired FEMA types moved to the southeast, not too far from the coast, Atlantic Ocean, that would be. And they are moving into a self-sustaining community. No, they're not eco-terrorists. They have underground structures, portable air supply, portable water supply, connecting tunnels between their homes that they've been constructing for about 8 years, and they have made the move. Now, the one family, and I don't want to get into a whole lot of detail because I'm not going to reveal who they are, but they did go through some very painful sacrifices with regard to their children to move, and their children, their future is somewhat diminished by the move in ways that I really can't describe. But let me just say that they voted with their feet and their pocketbooks, and they say that what's coming is scary. And so we're talking about a good number. I don't know the number. They wouldn't tell me. But a good number of FEMA types have relocated to a community, secluded community, in preparation for what's coming, because they want to try to be out of harm's way as much as possible. And my former now CIA, and I'll probably never hear from him again, contact has also relocated into the Rocky Mountains with a similar story. Retired ex-CIA officials who have some knowledge of what's coming, and they don't claim to have full knowledge, but they have enough to know that things could get really bad. But they are not insiders. They're not insiders enough, I should say, to get to the formal relocation bunkers and tunnels that have been prepared for the elite. I don't know if you recall an exercise that happened in September or October of 2011, 3-day exercise where the Denver International Airport was shut down, and they did massive FEMA and DHS treatment of mass casualties, all fake, of course. Then they shut down all flights except for the elite. And we think this was preparation for what's coming and where they're going to take the elite. In fact, I said that at the time. I said, sounds like the elite are looking for a place to hide when the proverbial poop hits the fan. And my FEMA source confirmed that. My FEMA source, by the way, is a former first responder to pandemics.
Oh,
that
lovely.
Kind of bleeds into where this goes.
Okay,
are we
we've
ready
got
to go there.
On yes, but on that note, we've got to take a swift break because we have to thank our advertisers. Because
of course, and that's a good cliffhanger too.
Of course, if we don't thank them, they won't be there. So you are listening to Dave Hodges from the Common Sense Show. You're here on We the People Radio at KCNR 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
Time is really wasted.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Tune in for Haven Humane Society's Animal Talk the last Thursday of each month from 8 to 9 a.m. on KCNR Free Fire Media. A Haven Humane Society staff member will make a guest appearance each month to take questions on air about the pet topic of the month. You'll learn about pet health care, pet adoptions, dog training, volunteering, and much, much more. So be sure and listen for Haven Humane Society's Animal Talk right here on KCNR 1460 on your radio dial.
This is Carl Bott. I'm with Chef Johnston Deli right here at Anselmo Vineyards. I'm back in the kitchen.
Hey, good morning, Carl. Thanks for stopping by.
Well, you know, I love it here. What's on the menu for today?
Today we're rolling out some special raviolis for Grandma Velia.
Beef, raviolis, salad, fish. You know, if you go to Anselmo's, it's going to be a superb meal.
Always made fresh with a ton of passion.
Well, that's why we like dining there.
Anselmo Vineyards, just a short drive from Palisadro. Anselmo Vineyards, it will become your favorite destination getaway.
Reading School of the Arts presents Disney's The Little Mermaid at the David Marr Theater in Reading on February 1st, 2nd, and 9th. Adapted from the 2008 Disney Broadway production, this musical features the hit songs Part of Your World, She's in Love, and the Oscar-winning song Under the Sea, all with live music. Have your picture taken with your favorite character after each performance. Tickets may be purchased at the Cascade box office, online at cascadetheater.org, or by calling 243-8877.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
We got to put you down when we come into town. Singing power to the people. Power to the people. Power to the people. Power to the people right on.
Right on. Right on.
That's bunker, bunker music.
Yeah, I like it. So, we're back. Hope you had a quick warm-up of the coffee before we hit the top of the hour at 9 o'clock. But before we do that, back to Dave Hodges. What was our segue, Dave?
Our segue was why some of these retired ex-Intel officials and their families and their colleagues are going into seclusion. And this is undeniable. I mean, I don't claim to know the masses of people. I know a few of the families, and I know them personally. And they're taking things very, very seriously. And what they don't know, and they're fairly uniform on this, whether we're talking CIA, DHS, or FEMA, exactly what form about what's coming is going to take place. They have some pretty well-educated guesses. They're fairly uniform. And they all mentioned to me there's a decision tree that the power brokers are going to follow when they enact whatever. And we're talking about the release of unknown-to-the-world pandemics with things that have been developed at Fort Detrick. We're also talking about the inevitability of a currency collapse. We're also talking about the possibility of EMP to take down the grid in case the above-ground military, and this is a real important distinction, the above-ground military goes into rebellion against the powers that be, which they very well might. And, of course, the forces, as I like to call them, of the New World Order, the bad guys, have a lot of their stuff stored underground in places that will be shielded from EMPs. So they're hoping to neutralize the advantage of above-ground troops. And that is really a frightening aspect if you look at the fact that our military could be neutralized so quickly and so much of it. So those are some of the major areas that they looked at in terms of what could come down and affect us. And to a person, I asked them, what do you think will be the number one choice? And they said, well, first of all, we've got to get the guns. And we've seen these false flag shooting events like the Aurora Mall, which is, if anybody who has looked at the Aurora Mall shooting with the Batman shooting back last summer, and they think that the government's telling the truth, they lack common sense. You know, common sense is like deodorant. The people who need it most don't use it. And unfortunately, that's a good number of our people. But that shooting took place with Holmes. I'm not even sure if he was the shooter. But what I can tell you is a 23-year-old starving college student didn't acquire high-grade weaponry to the tune of $70,000.
And body armor.
And he didn't obtain that on his own.
And the body armor.
Training.
And the body armor.
Yeah, and the entrance to the... to the theater. By the way, that's my old neighborhood. My house that I grew up in is a mile away from that theater. I know the geography, the area. The police substation that's closest to that theater is 50 yards away in a common parking lot. Those police could have been there in 2 minutes, but they weren't there for 20. Why? Well, one of the things I've been told, FEMA and DHS can intercept 911 calls. Of course, you think they would have heard the shooting and the people running out. So there's a reason why there was a stand down. And then people report multiple shooters, and I'm talking about in the alternative media, and I'm talking witnesses to the event. So we have all these mass shootings going around, and the Sandy Hook thing is so bizarre, it would take us a whole show to go through all the bizarreness, but I'll just give you one. Where did you see the gurneys of the bodies coming out, or lingering survivors who later died, or people who did survive but were partially wounded? That's what you see in these mass shootings, except at Sandy Hook.
Yeah, you never saw anything.
Pardon me?
You never saw anything.
That's exactly right. You don't see anything. You don't see eyewitness accounts of people coming out, telling an in-depth story about what happened. And a lot of people speculate. I had John Rappaport on my show last week, and he speculated the event may not have even happened. And I have to say that that may be true, except there is a police scanner report that's been leaked that says that they had two shooters on the ground in custody. And they had a guy in camo in a police car and go on and on and on. And
yeah, sitting in the front seat. And then there was video from a news chopper. They were chasing a guy through the woods who had run out of the building.
Yeah, the whole thing.
They were just, where did all that go?
Everything we're talking about here, these events, are designed to get our guns. And why they have to get our guns? Because they have to disarm us. You can't have 300 million handguns in a country that you're going to subjugate. So this is what they're attempting to do before they unveil their mass plan. And to a person, everyone I talk to in a position of knowing says the guns are the object. And this is why we're seeing all the false flag events. And you know what's interesting, too? I'm just writing an article about this morning. It'll be up today on my website at thecommonsenseshow.com. Death by doctor versus death by firearms. You have a 23.5 times greater chance of being killed by your doctor than you do by a gun. And yet, somehow that gets lost in the corporate-controlled media. Sorry, I don't mean to offend you guys, but that's pretty much what we're looking at.
Hey, we're a standalone station.
We're
not corporate-controlled, Dave.
Yeah.
I say we're not corporate-controlled. We're a standalone AM station.
Yeah, that's good. That's how I got my start in Wickenburg. Pete Peterson at KBSC gave me my first start on an independently owned radio station because, quite honestly, the corporate control chains wouldn't touch me with a 10-foot pole because I wasn't singing their message. But what we're looking at here is gun control, gun confiscation, and I'll give your listening audience something to chew on before we go to the break. In the 20th century, more people were killed by government following gun confiscation than they were wars. And historians largely fix that number at 262 million people killed by their government after gun confiscation took place.
It's
how do you like them numbers?
Yeah, I've never added them all up. I've seen the list, many times that's been going around here lately, but Yeah, nothing good ever happens. Bottom line is, if you want to say, oh, those numbers are wrong, or anytime they've ever disarmed a population, something bad has always happened, and lots of it.
And on large-scale devastation.
Exactly. And on that cheerful note, we're going to come back with another hour of cheerfulness with Dave Hodges. A whole hour of cheerfulness. You can't get that other places. But you do have 5 minutes to get more coffee or, load the tranquilizer gun in case it gets too much for you. We'll be back with We the People Radio in 5 minutes. Hit it, Bob.
More of Dave Hodges coming your way in hour number two here on We the People on Community Radio for the North State, KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Fox News Radio, I'm Sal Chiancresso. It's day 6 of that standoff in Alabama between authorities and man holed up in a bunker with a 5-year-old child. Police say Jimmy Lee Dykes took the boy from a school bus after killing the driver. The funeral for the driver, Charles Poland, will be held later.
The community is preparing to bury one of their own. The funeral set for Poland is today at 2 p.m. In lieu of holding the funeral at a church, services will be held at a local civic center that's been told to me to hold up to 5,000 people. The population of Midland City is only about 2,300, which shows you the outpouring number of support and the people they expect to come in from all over the state of Alabama. We also are told there will be a school bus procession during that funeral to show support for Poland.
Fox's Elizabeth Pren in Midland City, Alabama. A 25-year-old man is charged with murder in the deaths of former Navy SEAL Chris Kyle and another man at a Texas gun range. Kyle's the author of the best-selling book, American Sniper.
War is hell. It's definitely, Hollywood fantasizes about it, makes it look good. It's, war sucks.
Chris Kyle speaking with Fox host Bill O'Reilly on the O'Reilly Factor last year. 25-year-old Eddie Ray Ruth is charged with 2 counts of capital murder. The motive for the shooting isn't clear. The Super Bowl will be played tonight, the Baltimore Ravens against the San Francisco 49ers. And in the walk-up to the game, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell addressed questions about the injury risks of playing football.
What is the link? What causes some of the injuries that our players are still dealing with? And we take those issues very seriously. So we're putting $30 million into the National Institutes of Health.
Goodell appeared on CBS Face the Nation. And British police arrested a man armed with 2 knives outside Buckingham Palace. Scotland Yard says that man acted aggressively when challenged by authorities outside the gates. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
When you're on the go and need to know, it's Fox News Radio, live, anytime, any place, and it's as easy as foxnewsradio.com. Listen to the most recent newscast or your favorite Fox talk personalities. Just go to foxnewsradio.com or download the Fox News Channel app for news, video, weather, and Fox News talk from one app on iPhone, iPad, Android, Windows Phone, and more. Go to foxnews.com/mobile. Stay connected to Fox News and Fox News Radio.
You want to know about the stories beyond the headlines? Politics, pop culture, barbecue contests, and cornbread festivals, and the general lack of common sense in almost everything these days? Well, I'm Todd Starnes, host of Fox News and Commentary. I shop at Walmart, go to church on Sunday. Also something of an odd duck. But isn't that what makes life fun? Check it all out at ToddStarnes.com. You never know what you'll find. ToddStarnes.com.
Boston police have been interviewing a charter bus driver after a crash in which dozens of people were hurt, including one person with life-threatening injuries. That bus was carrying a group of Pennsylvania high school students. Police say the driver failed to heed low-clearance warning signs.
The students and their chaperones were returning from a trip to Harvard University when suddenly...
It all happened so fast, and it was, like, all of a sudden black.
Their coach bus hit an overpass in Boston, injuring more than 30 people. Firefighters climbed on top of the bus using boards to free the passengers. State police say the driver apparently didn't see a sign prohibiting oversized vehicles from taking that road.
Fox Radio Steve Rappaport. After last week's confirmation hearing on Capitol Hill, uncertainty about whether former Senator Chuck Hagel will get Senate approval as the next defense secretary.
Republicans could, if they choose, filibuster Hagel's nomination. That would trigger a 60-vote threshold, a vote tally Hagel may not reach. But filibustering cabinet nominees is almost unheard of on Capitol Hill. Without a filibuster, Hagel needs just 51 votes.
That's Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern reporting from Washington. In Northern California, a monastery is teaming up with a local brewery to raise some money.
The monks of New Clairvaux Abbey in tiny Vina, California are celebrating the rebirth of this Gothic chapter house, built from the same stones that supported the order's original 12th century monastery in Ovila, Spain. The stones were brought to San Francisco in 1930 by newspaper tycoon and avid art collector William Randolph Hearst. But his plans to rebuild the monastery never materialized. Determined to succeed where Hearst failed, the monks undertook the restoration themselves, with the help of Sierra Nevada Brewery in nearby Chico. Together, they developed Ovila Abbey Ales, brewed in the Trappist monk tradition, with some of the proceeds going to help fund this architectural marvel.
Fox's Claudia Cowan, and I'm Sal Chiandresso, Fox News Radio.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Elizabeth. Try to get in your chair. Hurry.
And I'm in. Yes.
Ah, she made it.
Okay.
We can't even start the second hour on time.
Nah. We've lost, I don't know what's happened to us. When we first started doing this thing, we were beyond.
You were showing up an hour earlier.
We were beyond prompt.
I know. We were all paranoid.
Totally beyond prompt. And now literally, remember last week, I'm not even sitting down. My coat's on. My car keys are in my hand.
Don't tell Dave this stuff. He won't respect us. Dave's going to go.
How hilarious is that?
Dave thinks we're highly trained professionals.
And hardly.
Dave, do you do that too?
I plead the fifth.
In other words, he's organized, prompt, and ready to go.
Either that or he's a goof off
well,
like
and
we
we're
are.
Not.
I tend to be obsessive because
well,
the things
statistics.
I say draw so much criticism.
True.
I've got to work hard to find backing for what I say. You know how that goes.
But you taught statistics,
yeah.
So that belies a personality trait I don't have.
If anybody's just tuning in.
Oh, yeah, those people.
You're joining We the People Radio with Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodard, Bob Martin, and our guest Dave Hodges of The Common Sense Show. And we've been talking about some of the, what some would say, conspiracy theorists, some of the stuff going on out there in preparation for, like you said, the proverbial poop hits the fan. And when we left off at the top of the hour, Dave, where do you want to go from here?
Well, we could talk about, some of the specifics about what I'm told could be coming, and, under the guise of, forewarned is forearmed. And, but it's speculative because, as I mentioned in the last segment, it's been stressed to me, this is a decision tree that the power brokers are going to take. But if people don't think that Obama and his communist minions, and I mean that literally, aren't capable of this, I should probably digress for a minute and talk about a gentleman named Larry Grathwohl, who I've had on my show twice. Larry Grathwohl was an FBI informant in the late 60s and early 70s, former Vietnam vet, decorated Vietnam vet. Larry penetrated the Weatherman Underground with Bill Ayers, Bernadine Dorn, and that whole communist crew that wanted to lead a communist revolution against the government. But these weren't poor, starving college students. Dorn and the Weathermen were rich Ivy Leaguers who had very wealthy parents. In fact, Ayers' dad was the head of Con Ed of Illinois. So we're not talking wrong side of the tracks, but they wanted to install communism. Well, when Barack Obama launched his political career, he did so in the living room of Bill Ayers and his wife, who served 7 months in prison for bombings and the death of a San Francisco policeman. She served 7 months, but they launched Obama's political career. And Ayers' dad, Tom Ayers, had a conversation with Obama and the postman who's gone public. Actually, it was documentation arrived at by Joe Arpaio, Sheriff Joe, when he was trying to authenticate Obama's long-form birth certificate, in which the postman said that Tom Ayers admitted that he funded Obama's law education. So this man has been groomed by communists for communism for quite some time. He's the right man at the right time for this takeover of this country and the total abrogation and evisceration of the Constitution. And this is what we're looking at here. And they're going to take down this country. They, being the globalist puppeteers who control people like Obama, they are going to take down this country by any means possible. And what's interesting to me is the people at the upper levels of the military and people in the upper level of the alphabet soup agencies are beginning to catch on in greater number. And let me digress one further. When you look at the death of Ambassador Chris Stevens at Benghazi, Admiral Guyette, who was the head of Carrier Task Force 3, and General Hamm, head of AFRICOM, were both launching a rescue mission when they were arrested and relieved of command by their number two. I've written about it on my website with the documentation. That is a revolution against Obama and Panetta. I'm talking about it's a military coup, what they basically did. They were going against direct orders. Now they're paying for it with their careers. And probably Guyette might even do jail time from what I'm hearing. And this is the military waking up to the planned assassination of Chris Stevens. And I don't want to digress into that today because it takes us away from our point. But I wrote about it extensively on my website with the documentation, of course. I think that when you see upper-level members of the alphabet soup agencies, you see the military waking up. In fact, Obama has recently sacked 17 senior military officials. I think a coup could be coming because these people see what's in store for this country. So when I unveil these scenarios here and people say, well, this is the ramblings of a wild-eyed person who's got his tinfoil hat on, I think that they might want to sit down and look at how people in the military and the defense agencies are voting with their feet. Scenario number one, and I've been told this is a fairly likely scenario. Let me take you back to October of last year in San Diego, covered by the local media. You can YouTube this and look it up. The military sponsored a zombie defense drill.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I laughed when I first heard this. I go, you've got to be kidding me. A zombie defense drill? Yet the documentation is there. Now, the coverage of it was, ha-ha, it's cute and funny, we're coming up on Halloween. But it was a real defense drill. Now, what I've been told by my insider sources who've gone into hiding is that this drill was no joke. Now, we're not looking at zombies in the form of dead people in the Hollywood version coming back to life to harass living human beings. What we're looking at is the release of a pandemic unknown to the world outside a few select people. Remember I told you my FEMA source was a first responder and he had the antidote so he'd be in a position to know what I'm telling you. And you release this chemical into the air and we assume it's going to be through the chemtrail dispersions and about 10 to 12% of the population it's estimated will go crazy. It'll be like people on PCP. In fact, I was told the PCP comparison might even be tame. And parallel to this is something else that's happening with Simon Properties. Simon Properties is the largest owner of shopping malls and strip centers in North America. Last fall, they signed an agreement with Department of Homeland Security to use their malls for stack-and-pack evacuation centers in the case of some kind of pandemic or national emergency. And following suit on that was the agreement by NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, soccer to use their stadiums and indoor arenas for similar purposes. And I'm thinking, why would they line this up at the same time? And interestingly enough, I'm sure you've covered this on your show, DHS purchased 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition last year. And they plan on establishing many guard shacks, highway checkpoints. It's all documented. It's all out there in public venue. In fact, they don't even hide it on their website. So what could this possibly be leading to? One of the scenarios I was told was you have this pandemic release. It's not safe out in the public. So where will you go? Well, we've all heard about the FEMA camps. They do exist. CBS admitted it during Hurricane Sandy. I also have that report on my website. But this is bigger than FEMA camps because you need a place to take in hundreds of millions of people. I don't know if the malls are that big, but you have these malls who will be emergency centers for people to run to. Now, let's just use our imagination for a second. What's going to happen if this scenario goes down the way that my FEMA and my DHS sources have told me? That what will happen to these millions of people inside of these relocation centers at the malls and the stadiums? Well, if we jump ahead and we look at Agenda 21 and what they say they want to do in America, they want to have a Hunger Games scenario. That movie is so strangely prophetic.
Well, and you know what? Read the books, because like any movie, the books have so much more detail. I read the first one in 12 hours.
Yeah, my son, interestingly enough, as a fifth grader, read the trilogy.
Well, they're under the Scholastic label, so they're designed for middle school kids. And I first heard about the books from my sister-in-law, who teaches middle school, and she said, I've got something you have got to read. Because you want to know what big government looks like, you read these books.
Well, this is what we're headed towards. They call for an Agenda 21, 11 megacities, each capable of housing 6 million people in stack-and-pack apartments. And the justification that lends credence to this observation that this Agenda 21 aspect is coming into fruition is what's happened in San Francisco and New York with the approval and passage by local government of 200 to 500-foot square-foot apartments in both of these locations. And this seems to be the trend. I know Phoenix here in my area is looking at this as well. So you've got a situation in which Agenda 21 in stack-and-pack cities and the implementation, full implementation of the wildlands legislation out of the UN may become the actual goal in this. Now, I'm speculating on this, but I'm not the only one who's made this leap in logic. But here's the problem. Let's do the math. If you have 11 super cities, mega cities, with a maximum population of 6 million, that's 66 million people. We have about 310 million people in the country. Is that the planned casualty rate?
Lovely.
That's frightening.
Yeah.
And you know, you brought up the book, Hunger Games. I haven't fully got to develop this, and probably someone's going to beat me to the punch because I got a few other projects on the table right now, but I plan on looking at Suzanne Collins, because let me tell you what I found.
Yeah, that's interesting, because she was a military brat.
Well, not only that, her genre of the books that she authors mm-hmm. has nothing to do with Agenda 21 politics put forth in her trilogy. This is totally 100%, 180-degree turnaround from what she writes.
Yeah. I did the same thing when I read the books. I looked her up.
If you look at who sponsors Scholastic, they're tied into people like Rockefeller and Soros, and I'm talking going up their corporate chain. I think the material was given to her, and she put it in novel form.
Yeah,
there's another book that's out there, too. It's called Among the Hidden, and the author's name has jumped out of my head. It'll come back to me. My son read that, too, and called it to my attention. And this had to do with the food police, the population police. It was written for children, so they had government officials spying in the windows. And people that had more than two kids had to hide their third kid, and if they were caught, it was the death penalty. And I actually had my son on a little cameo appearance 5 minutes on my show describing the book that he read in the fourth grade. Margaret Haydens, I think, is the name of the author.
Before we go to our break, real quickly, so you think that Suzanne Collins was given this material. Was she given the material to warn people? I mean, why was she used as a conduit to get this information out?
I've got to look into this deeper, but I'm just saying, when you have such a bifurcation between mm-hmm. what you've written and what you're writing, mm-hmm. you have to ask that same question you just did. My guess is it's conditioning.
Get people used to the
idea. It's conditioning the millions of people that are going to see the trilogy of the movie and read the books that this is the way things are going to be. Shut up, sit down, and enjoy the ride.
Wow.
That's my best guess.
I'm not sure how that segues into our break. we're just gonna let silence be our friend. And I'm sure Bob will have some lovely musical interlude that will pick the scab even further. But we will be back with Dave Hodges if you can handle that. Here at We the People Radio. Love the information. Thanks, Dave. Here at KCNR 1460 AM, Community Radio for the North State. Tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags. It's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Can you smell it? That sweet, rich, woody smell. That smell that makes your taste buds tingle and your stomach flutter with excitement. That smell you smell is smoked. The best taste in barbecue. Brisket is here in a sliced pub roll for lunch or dinner. Only $7.50 with a choice of side. Or how about marinated riblets with a choice of side for only $6.50. All sides are made fresh with only the best ingredients. Smoked on Airport at Rancho. 365-2085. Smoked. Ribs, chicken, and killer sides.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to one to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to one on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Can you handle the truth? Are you tired of the mainstream media spin? Do you believe that the economy is recovering? Are you prepared for the economic collapse that's coming? Are you prepared for hyperinflation? Do you think the government will solve your problems? Do you care about your children's future? Are you self-reliant? Will you fight for your freedom? Want solutions? Want the truth? Tune in to 1460 Sovereign Minds Radio now at 8 o'clock on Saturday mornings, where we always handle the truth.
Join the conversation in our chat room. KCNR1460.com.
Never see it coming. Just hit you by surprise. It's that cold place in your soul. That fire in her eyes. It makes you come together. Like wild horses when they run. Now the cards are on the table and bullets in the gun. Bullets in the gun.
And we're back. And if you are not sufficiently scared, stay tuned. We still have 35 minutes. So back to you.
Back to you,
Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show.
The purveyor of fear, which is really not what I want to do, but this is honestly what I think people need to hear. We are being governed by a very criminal elite group of people. They're minions. They're puppets. And they're controlled by the five megabanks. And the five megabanks have taken over Europe. I mean, you got Super Mario Monti ruling over Italy. You've got a Goldman Sachs banker ruling over Greece. You're seeing this all the way through Europe. And what we're looking at here is the establishment of a global technocratic dictatorship controlled by the megabanks. It's undeniable. This is who received the bailout. And we're funding our own demise. But they know that Americans are going to be a tough nut to crack. 300 million handguns and still a little bit of working knowledge is left in our country of the Constitution and things like the First and Second Amendment. And so they have to devise ways to break that down before they can conquer us, because we're really uncontrollable as a nation. A foreign power would not have much success in controlling us, and the globalists know this. So sequentially, they're taking us down bit by bit. They started with the Constitution through the passage of things like the NDAA, where the government legally now can arrest you and murder you without due process. So So we are living in very interesting times that the Chinese warned us about. May you live in interesting times? Well, yes, we do. But we live in very dangerous times. And people suffer from, Aaron, they suffer from a normalcy bias, a term borrowed from sociology that talks about how people will deny the coming events when they first see them. And I know it. I went through this 9.5 years ago when I began my fight against the globalists. I could not believe government was as corrupt and evil as I found, and it is. And it's filtered down to where it's at every level. We see endemic corruption as low as the city councils that are adopting ICLEI and Agenda 21 proposals. By the way, just out of curiosity, is Reading a ICLEI city?
No.
No, it's not.
However, apparently there's a proposal on the table with our city council to begin funding an Army Corps of engineers liaison position when we don't have enough police or fire, so we don't have enough information to have an intelligent discussion about that. However, it sounds like somebody better get cracking and learn more about that.
Yeah, it's true. Well, since we're kind of purveying the fear, selling the fear this morning, let me give you another thing that I think is coming too. And I wrote about this also about killer robots, and I found this incredible. The Star Trek technology we've almost passed it. People used to marvel at how it was such wild science fiction, like the doors that opened automatically back in the 60s on the original TV series, is now part of almost every large building or department store. But when we look at what DARPA, which is the research arm of the military, is working on, and what they've announced, they have killer robots that can run 30 miles an hour. They have facial recognition capability, and they have lethal capabilities. And honestly, if you've got your 380 semi-automatic, you're not going to be able to take them down. It's going to take a far bigger punch. Some people speculated maybe a good old shotgun will do it. But one of the things that I was told, and this was only one source, is that if you refuse to evacuate and you're able to escape detection, that they will have the killer robots come in and clean things up. And the drones, 30,000 drones, I'm sure you're aware of that, flying over the United States right now, and from almost the near edges of space, they can read the inscription on a dime. They have heat signature capabilities both above and below ground, and I've been told that that earth-penetrating tomography goes as deep as a mile. So if you think you're really going to hide, you know, think again. I think it's going to be a pretty tough proposition. The technological mechanisms for a roundup have been placed into technology, you know, right from the back doors into our cell phones and our computers that can spy on us, right to these killer robots. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why would the military and this government spend these kinds of monies at a time when they can least afford it? Why would they be spending this? What would be the purpose? Are they just playing games and this is a recreational hobby? Or should we look at a direction trend curve and say, this could really be leading to something very, very bad?
Well, and I have somebody on the chat room who says the drone thing isn't true, but newsflash, it is true. And
well, yeah, newsflash, just go to the mainstream media. They fully admit to it.
Well, they've been flying drones on ranchers for a long time.
Oh, yeah, yes, yeah. They've been using drones to enforce FDA regulation sponsored by Monsanto. They use drones,
yep.
This is how good they are technologically, to detect Monsanto seed that has blown onto the properties of non-Monsanto seed purchasers. And so then Monsanto sends their people out and tries to sue them for $2 million. I interviewed Percy Schmeiser from Canada, who had a big battle in the Canadian Supreme Court with Monsanto. They tried to fine him $2 million for Monsanto seeds that blew on his property. He said, you know, for the life of me, I don't know how they got here. Well, then when I started reading about how drones were being used in an agricultural sense, I think that's pretty clear how they found Percy and 100 American farmers just like him.
So much for drones can see small objects, but the atmospheric heat will diffuse the clarity. That was in our chat room. It's like, might want to brush up on the technology because this isn't even a debatable thing. I mean, this isn't, well, this isn't even, nobody's even going to call it a conspiracy.
There's a lag between what the public has and what the military has. Let me just give you one example. The internet was rolled out in the mid-60s as an alternative communication form in the case of a nuclear attack in which an EMP, we know, would take down general communications. 30 years later, the technology is brought to the public's attention. This is typical. This is very typical. And what we're seeing now is the unveiling of technology that's probably 30, 40, 50 years old, and we're seeing just how far along we really are. We live basically in a 1980s world in 2020 technology, and the powers that be have lots of tools they can turn on us.
Well, you know, that old series, Get Smart, you know, with all his little shoe phone and all that stuff. Go back and watch some of those episodes. You know, when you look at that stuff, that's all how we live our life now. All that technology. Well, I mean, did we model our technology on a goofy sitcom from the 60s, or was that stuff all really being used and we just didn't hear about it for 20, 30 years?
Yeah, because what a coincidence. I mean, it's an exact match.
Yeah, his shoe starts ringing
well,
in the theater.
You know, interesting.
Horrified.
Ask yourself who owns the corporations that are making money from the implementation of this technology. And it's the same people who make quotes such as, we need to reduce the Earth's population by 90% by whatever means necessary. And the quotes are out there. You can just Google depopulation quotes and be prepared to spend some time reading. And you'll be shocked at some of the more notables. And they own, you know, corporations like Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, and they're making money on our demise while they take us to our demise. And I think it's quite clear that this is a profit incentive plan to basically subjugate, enslave, and exterminate eventually a good number of our people. But what do I base that on? I'm not having a sheer fit of insanity this morning. This is what they write about. This is what George Soros and Ted Turner write about. Ted Turner, Save Man, they gave $500 million to the UN in one fell swoop. So if you look at this, it's not a stretch to say this is where they're going with this. So hearkening back to my original premise that I came on your show with, when you look at what ex-senior level officials in some of the alphabet soup agencies are saying about going into seclusion for what's coming, then all of a sudden, when you look at it in the context of what I just said, it begins to make sense. In fact, they've asked me, where do you live? I live in the country. Your location is not ideal, but it's better than 95% of most people in the country. The worst place you could be, as everyone knows, is in an urban population center. And the nice thing about where I live, there's only one way in and one way out. So we do have a measure of protection. Unfortunately for us, as the crow flies, we're only about 60 miles from Palo Verde nuclear plant.
Well, you know, there's so many things out there that really raise your suspicions. And I was going to say that I watched a short YouTube video yesterday. It was a very short interview with a former Weather Underground member. And this video was probably done, I'm going to guess, 20 years ago. And he fully admitted that the plan was to exterminate a great number of Americans. He said.
Yeah, in fact, let me expand on that a little bit. When Larry Grathwall, the former FBI informant that I said was on my show, he was in a meeting with Bill Ayers. And Bill Ayers was actually trying to get him to orchestrate a plot to blow up the Detroit police headquarter building. And that's when Larry, you know, blew the whistle and the authorities were able to stop it, but Larry's cover ostensibly was blown. But what Larry told me, he was sitting in a meeting with Bill Ayers and all these other, what he called red diaper babies, who had master's degrees from places like the Ivy League schools, and what they were saying was frightening. Larry asked Bill Ayers, okay, so you win and you take over the government eventually, and you install your brand of communism, what will that look like? And what will you hope to do? And he said, well, the first thing we know that's going to happen, the American people will rise up and there'll be a counter-revolution. So what we'll have to do is place probably about half of the country in re-education camps. And that was the term he used in 1968. Re-education camps. from which we'll have to exterminate approximately half the people, because half the people won't go along with what we're doing.
I think we saw the same video.
Yeah, so I think we're talking probably about the same kind of philosophy.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I was just reading a little news recently, like during the break, and just think
that's
about...
pretty recent.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty recent.
That's very recent. And just think about all of the Navy SEALs are true patriots, the most qualified, those with the most expertise in handling weapons. And how many of them have died in the last couple of years?
Well, how many have died that involved in sensitive operations like the mythical killing of Osama bin Laden?
Yeah.
SEAL Team 6 has been obliterated.
Mm-hmm.
Dead men tell no tales. Interesting you'd bring that up. I've been told by quite a number of people that the Navy SEALs are moving on to other professional endeavors because they see the clear writing on the wall. You're absolutely right about that.
Not good. Okay, we need to take a quick break because we're...
We'll take another quick break on another positive note, like we always do.
Every time we hit the point where you need to take a deep breath, we just take a break. It's good. It's kind of childish, but we're good. We're good with it. We're going to be back with Dave Hodges from the Common Sense Show here at We the People Radio. You are listening to KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State.
Submission.
Dominance.
Submission.
Dominance.
Submission.
Jones's Fort, Redding's full-line gun shop, offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Redding's full-line gun shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Redding area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find the gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have 4 full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
Pulse Urgent Care welcomes back Dr. Richard Musselman, joining Dr. Clayton Reinhardt, Dr. Seeger Beatty, and family nurse practitioner Deborah Wright in Pulse's newly expanded facility. Pulse doctors are available to serve you for any urgent care needs 7 days a week from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m. Flu shots are now available. Pulse Urgent Care is on Hilltop Drive across from Kmart. Call 722-1111 or visit pulseurgentcare.com. Medicare and private insurances are accepted. Pulse Urgent Care says if it's urgent to you, it's important to us.
Everybody's talking about Tapas Downtown, restaurant and bar, bringing fresh new flavors to downtown Reading. A great place to meet for any meal, Tapas Downtown is locally owned and offers a casual dining experience and an all-original menu. Try us for Tapa Hour, tasty cocktails and tapa specials every day, including late night on Friday and Saturdays. Find us in downtown Reading on Oregon Street or call 247-7299. Tapas Downtown, always fresh, always delicious, never a dull meal.
Tune in for Haven Humane Society's Animal Talk the last Thursday of each month from 8 to 9 a.m. on KCNR Free Fire Media. A Haven Humane Society staff member will make a guest appearance each month to take questions on air about the pet topic of the month. You'll learn about pet health care, pet adoptions, dog training, volunteering, and much, much more. So be sure and listen for Haven Humane Society's Animal Talk right here on KCNR 1460 on your radio dial.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
When I'm in the shower, I'm afraid to wash my hair. Cause I might open my eyes and find someone standing there. People say I'm crazy, just a little touch. But maybe showers remind me of psycho tumor. That's why
I always feel like somebody's watching me. And I have no privacy.
Yeah, and that would be a drone shaped like a hummingbird.
Drone song.
dialing up your coordinates for a hellfire missile strike, yeah.
Actually, I think if they just turned off everybody's hot water, that would be just as effective.
Hey,
people
people
would freak out.
So, Dave, with this grand plan, and, you know, as we unsurface more and more information, it's really hard to deny it. The powers that be, these power brokers that you refer to, are they concerned that more and more American people are catching on?
That's why they're accelerating their plans. Mm. I mean, I'm sure the two of you have noticed in the last few years, things have just gone crazy. And they're coming at us in so many different directions, on so many different levels, it's hard to keep up. I went to John Stadtmiller, who's the owner of RBN, last year, and I said, John, I need an extra hour. I can't keep up. He gave me an extra hour. I still can't keep up. I could broadcast 24/7 and not keep up with what they're doing. Yes, Zygmunt Brzezinski allegedly said at a Bilderberger meeting that the people are waking up and we need to accelerate our plans. So I think there's no question about that. But, you know, one of the things that I'm finding, though, and I'm seeing proof of people waking up, I've got a website, thecommonsenseshow.com, shameless plug.
That shameless
the way.
Four
months old. Yet I've got almost 500 sites looking in and subscribe to what I write. And that's, I've been told by the powers that be out there, because I don't understand marketing that well on the internet, but I've been told that's phenomenal. And I get anywhere between about 6 and I've been as high as 22,000 visits a day with a large number of page views. And it's not because I think I have any great talent to offer. I don't claim that at all. This is not about ego. This is about topic.
Yeah.
People know at some level intuitively, even the most dumbed down of us, that something is horribly wrong. Something is really missing in logic and how the government's disconnected from the people. And they're seeking answers. And I think that's why I'm seeing such a phenomenal explosion of readership on my website, and I'm experiencing something similar on my radio show. People want to know what's coming. People are afraid of what's coming, and I see more evidence of that every day. I used to be hopeful that we could wake enough people up, that we could use the political process through nonviolent means to have a counter-critical tsunami take back our government. But I have to share with you, I'm not optimistic to that end any longer. I wake people up so they can learn how best to survive what's coming. I think what's coming is too late to turn back. There's two trains coming at each other on the track, and we can get them to put on the brakes, but they're still going to collide. We're going to go through some very difficult times. Are we going to be in a civil war? I think that's probably very likely. I think at minimum we're going to see civil disobedience that mimics a civil war. And people, as they wake up to this, are going to begin to take less and less. Obama's made a very bold move. By going after the guns the way he is, he's waking up people that otherwise would have remained asleep.
Yep.
It's a calculated gamble that I think is going to backfire in his administration.
Yeah, but you know, God's a funny man, you know. When we get sick, it's like everybody starts, you know, pray for me and all that stuff. Well, you know what? Politics is no different.
Absolutely.
And at the end of the day... Hey, that's interesting.
At the end of the day,
we're starting our show over again.
At the end of the day, everybody needs to stay connected to their maker.
Well, at the end of the day, there's, you know, things always happen the way they happen on purpose. Mm-hmm. And because there are no accidents. So you think, you know, somebody gets just this massive ego trip and everybody says, do it, do it, do it. It'll work. It'll work. Because they live in a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're not out here with the rest of us.
The, Jim Mars and I have had this discussion, and Jim said once on my show that he looks at things this way. He says, I get called a conspiracy theorist a lot. And he said, and I look at these people and I say, well, what does that make you? A coincidence theorist? Everything happens by accident?
Yeah.
This is how the media has framed people like myself who go out and they document their positions, and they show the data for why they're making the claims they're making, and yet forget the data, forget the proof, you're a conspiracy theorist. And I'll give you one example, global warming. Global warming fraud, 2009 in December, with ClimateGate, emails hacked showing that the purveyors of the myth of global warming were saying that gee, the mean temperature of the Earth has actually declined in the last 15 years, and what would the public say if they actually knew? That was in the media for 3 days, disappeared, and yeah. It's like it never happened.
Are you kidding me? I was on a conference call Friday, yeah, with U.S. Fish and Wildlife, where they were talking about bringing wolverines back into the United States, and we need wolverines. Now, you know, we're going to apply the pressure of the federal government. We're going to involve all sorts of, you know, anyway, we're going to roll this thing out. And the target population that their goal is 1,000 wolverines because they live at 6,000 feet. They need snow until May, and global warming is ruining their habitat. And I'm thinking, do you people not read the same kind of stuff I do? What the heck? Mm.
You know, wasn't that the paramilitary youth group in the original movie Red Dawn? Yeah, bring the wolverines back. Give the government what they really deserve.
Dave, you get Segway of the Year. Okay, that was Segway of the Year right there, people, just in case you missed it.
And you'll be getting your award in the mail any day now.
I'm going to go mad, and I'm going to bring out the pen. I'm going to draw the circle around the guy. Okay, pass complete. There's a little Super Bowl Segway
there.
Yeah, but
there's
Super
a price
Bowl
to pay for that. On those FEMA lists, I probably have a big red dot next to my name.
Yeah, but I have a big red dot, too, because I found out they're tracking people who take thyroid hormone and estrogen and stuff like that. So, you know, we're on the DEA watch list, too. So,
well, I'm safe on that fact. But
yeah, you better lay off the estrogen.
You're not taking any estrogen, Dave?
No.
I just, not yet.
You've been trying to cut back?
You were thinking about it, though.
Hey, well,
no, I'm trying to think about how to maintain my testosterone level.
Well, you know, the good news is they're not tracking that hormone. They're, for whatever reason. But, you know, I got this yesterday, and, you know, in honor of the Super Bowl and all, it did say beer contains female hormones. Last month, Montreal University and scientists.
Oh, that's why my husband is so sensitive.
Yes, that's it. They released the results of a recent analysis that revealed the presence of female hormones in beer. Men should take a concerned look.
I think, beer?
Yeah, well, I'm not done yet.
Say it ain't so, Joe.
I've got more proof.
You're taking all the fun out of happy hour.
No, here we go. The theory that beer contains female hormones, hops contain progesterones, that by drinking enough beer, men turn into women. So to test the theory, 100 men drank 8 schooners of beer. I don't know what a schooner is. I'm assuming it's a large ship. It was then observed that 100% of the test subjects, now statistics for you, Dave, huh? Okay, 100% of the subjects argued over nothing, refused to apologize when they were obviously wrong, gained weight, talked excessively without making sense, became overly emotional, could not drive, failed to think rationally, and had to sit down while urinating.
Well, it hasn't affected me in the latter. It explains now my hot flashes after Friday afternoon.
I need to go home and have a chat with my husband.
I don't know.
Hey, you know, one thing we should squeeze in.
I don't know what possessed me to bring that up.
Let me segue to one other thing.
But I had you all the way to the end.
Is for all you parents out there that have kids in the public school system.
Yeah.
Don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Common Core.
Just
what
break
I like
up.
To call
oh,
it
oh, oh.
We're doing a whole nother show on that.
That reminds me. Okay, I have to interrupt because, well, I just have to.
You don't have a joke about beard.
But I was listening to KFBK, which is one of the bigger stations out of Sacramento, California. I was listening to talk radio Friday morning, and they've got a Common Core commercial playing, and they have this very nice sounding woman who says it's a wonderful thing, and all the parents should go to their website, and they should promote Common Core curriculum and ask their school administrators about it.
Kool-Aid.
They're running commercials.
Kool-Aid, can't wait.
Rage against the dying of the light.
Yeah, let me just say two real broad general things here.
Go ahead.
I researched the Common Core curriculum. It's supposed to be the savior of education like No Child Left Behind was, that lowered reading comprehension scores to 40-year lows. But let's not confuse the facts here, but let me just say this. Common Core works on the principle they want to get our kids college ready. Mm. No. There's not one shred of data and research behind the Common Core. It comes out of the United Nations, UNESCO, in a think tank called Education for All. It bypassed all school boards, all government representatives that are elected, went to the National Governors Association. They rubber stamped it, put their own name on it, Common Core, and hence here it is. And I analyzed the math and English curriculum in a two-part series I wrote on my website, And what I found was, like I said, no research behind it. Number two, the math curriculum has been dumbed down to the level that they basically eliminated Algebra 2, which is necessary for four-year university and college entrances, that high school students will not be able to take calculus unless they go to school in the summer or take an additional online class because the curriculum is slowed down. They're retarding everything by at least 1.5 years. And go to your literature. Your literature classes are only going to be less than 50% literature, and they're going to be 50% informational text, which defeats the purpose of the literature class. And we're looking at the total dumbing down. Meanwhile, the same people that are funding Common Core, you know, they're also funding schools like BASIS, which are great schools, and they're for the elite. And these schools accelerate the curriculum. So what we see is the implementation of a dumbed-down system on one end and a souped-up system for the elite on the other end. And it goes back to what John D. Rockefeller said at the time he was helping to sponsor the implementation of public education in America back in the 1880s, when he said, we want Americans just smart enough to do their job, but too dumb to challenge authority and think critically. This is what's being put into place. Common Core, get your kids out of the schools. Get away from it. My wife went to an informational meeting from the BASIS schools. She asked the Common Core question. And they said, oh, we don't follow that crap here.
Wow. Nice.
I think that's very telling.
I think that's awesome. All right, we're coming back. We're going to talk a wee bit more about that. And we're going to have to force you to get up again on a Sunday morning, Dave, because there's way too much information.
Okay.
All righty. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. We'll be right back. A little Art Bell.
I think this is appropriate, don't you?
I think you're
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Thanks to your faithful and generous support, the Good News Rescue Mission is able to help people transform their lives from addictions and homelessness to becoming productive citizens again. In addition to a highly successful free recovery program, the mission, over the past 5 years, has provided over 1,800 chapel services, 360,000 nights of emergency shelter, and more than 1 million hot meals to our neighbors. Thank you again for helping to transform lives. I am Cesar Partida. This is the Good News. And this is our mission.
For more info, go to gnrm.org.
Gun Owners of California United Reading Chapter cordially invites you to attend our fourth annual fundraiser banquet and auction. We have a great opportunity this March 23rd at the Reading Veterans Hall to raise funds and defend our rights. This banquet is packed full of guns, knives, optics, and more. So join in the fun and help defend our rights. For tickets, contact Jones's Fort, 222-3223, or Gun Owners of California, area code 916-984-1400. Raising funds, defending your rights.
Hi, I'm Sandy Mastin with the University Preparatory School Educational Foundation, inviting you to join us for our exciting fifth annual auction dinner event, We're Going Places, on Saturday, March 9th at the Reading Elks Lodge. Guests will also enjoy casino-style gaming, dinner, and dancing to Reading's own Clear Cut. To learn how you can partner with us and to purchase tickets, go to myuprep.com or call 242-0424.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
There's your zombie song.
I like it.
I do too.
I like it that Don comes in to do his show after us and he's walking in like a zombie. See, we turned everybody. We got him on board.
Thanks to Dave. So, Dave, where do you want to wrap up the next 6.5 minutes? And if we don't get a chance to say thank you, thank you.
Yeah, we've learned to do that early because we always run out of time.
It's hard to go. Hard to know where to go next. Like I said, we're attacked on so many fronts by so many. I think what I'd like to do is just kind of revisit what we started the show with, and that's these people I talk to are real people. They're known to me personally. They have been against what this government's been doing for a while. They have fed me information and pointed me in directions to do my own research. It's one thing to give out a state secret, you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. It's quite another thing to point someone in a direction and they do their research, which is what they largely have had me do. But in these instances I related today, the things I talked about with zombies, and not zombies, like I said, that are the typical Hollywood, but in the fashion I described, the EMP attacks against a rebelling military, and so forth and so on, these were direct statements made to me, not things that they pointed me in directions. Although some of the things that I did find in my own research into the DARPA technology validates a lot of the things that they told me. This is real. And the government, or I should say the forces that have taken over our government, are really planning for a massive takeover by whatever means necessary. There is a decision tree that's impossible to predict how this will all go down, but I gave the listening audience today, I think, an example of the types of things that they're planning to do to subjugate us. Number one is the guns. Do not give up your guns. Did you hear about the case of Sergeant Haddad, who was a decorated military hero?
No.
Okay, let me relate it real quickly.
Okay.
Sergeant Haddad, just in an article I published on my website, my newest one, people can go up and see it, thecommonsenseshow.com, was arrested in New York, in Jefferson County, New York, for having 5 empty AR magazines in his car. Empty. No bullets, no guns. The magazines is what he was carrying. And this is in response to a law that was passed in New York that prohibited such a magazine. The problem is the magazine that he procured was obtained before the law became in effect. So therefore, this is ex post facto, meaning you can't arrest someone for what they did on Monday when you pass a law on Tuesday. But let's not confuse the government with the Constitution, because they're no longer following it. But this is an example of what they're doing to people to try to intimidate them to give up their guns. But I think that what we all need to do is band together. He's got a relief fund that I talked about on the article I wrote, and I'd encourage people to donate to it, because we need to stand up for each other. If we give up our guns, we are defenseless against this criminal government. And I want to stress to you, 262 million people murdered in the 20th century after gun control and confiscation was introduced by a host government. We cannot give up our guns. We're committing suicide if we do. So that's one thing that I would really like to leave the listening audience with. It's time for civil disobedience in this area. The second thing is stop being propaganda.
Dave, yeah. Give our audience a definition of civil disobedience so they don't misunderstand what
you mean.
Turn
in their gun. You got an AR-15. Come turn it in. Hell no. No. I mean, if enough of us refuse, what are they going to do? Build a fence around the country and call it jail? Hell no. They'll make an example out of a few of us, and that's where we need to stand together and support those who are persecuted in an attempt to frighten the many. That's the IRS principle. You know, abuse one so 100 pay their taxes. That's what they're going to do with gun control. It's already started, and we need to say no. And the second thing, very quickly, I want to leave people with, get your kids out of the government schools, because they're being propagandized, and they're not going to be like you. And they're attempting to divide the country. This is the equivalent of the Hitler Youth Movement. And these kids need to be out of government schools and the communist core curriculum as quickly as possible. Those are the two things I like to leave your listening audience with.
So there is something you can do. But bottom line is, you know, you always hear the stories in the countries that were disarmed that, you know, they showed up at the neighbor's house, dragged them out into the street, and everybody ran inside and hid. Good thing they're not at my house. It's like, newsflash, if you don't help your neighbor, they're coming to your house. And I mean that literally and figuratively. I mean, this isn't the time to wait it out because somebody else is going to fix it for you. It's a problem solved by numbers.
Martin No. Miller's, you know, they came for the so-and-so, and I said nothing. Then they finally came for me because there was no one left to speak. And this is what we're looking at today. With regard to the government schools issue, it's simple. Homeschool your kids. Form associations with parents who have knowledge in specific core areas. Those lists are available on the internet. It's easy to put together. Or put your kid in one of the elite schools if they're smart enough to get in. If they're not smart enough to get in, then do it yourself. And when the government outlaws homeschooling, then you disobey. Because your kids do not belong to the government, contrary to what they have you believe.
Yeah, and contrary to what they have the kids believing, actually. You know,
exactly.
There's a lot to be said. I don't know who we had on, but talking about that, and that is stressful for kids. Hey, you know what, Dave Hodges from the Common Sense Show, we loved having you on. Thanks
Thank
a
you.
Million zillion.
Oh,
once
it's my
again.
Pleasure to come on. And if I was going to wake up for anybody, I'm glad it was you too.
Right
Thank you.
On. Thank you, Bob Martin, for the awesome music. Miss Elizabeth, another lovely week.
Miss Aaron.
Yeah. Good night, John Boy. Hey, we better get out of here, eh?
Good night, Mariel.
Thank you, Aaron Ryan. Thank you, Elizabeth Woodward. And thank you, Dave Hodges. Outstanding show.
And if you didn't know who we were before, you do now.
Yeah, but it doesn't
And matter. Don and Judy are next here on AM 1460, KCNR, Shasta Redding, Community Radio for the North State.
Fox News Radio, I'm Sal Giangrasso. The week of partying in New Orleans will make room for a football game. Fox News Radio's Ron Flatter is live at Super Bowl 47.
It was by no means a scientific survey, but judging from last night on Bourbon Street, it appears there is more 49ers red here. But Baltimore purple was the color worn by two Ravens fans who celebrated their own event yesterday. Daisy Sedano and Jim Pellegrini got married in the French Quarter.
We just looked at each other and says, we're not going to get married until the Ravens make it back to the Super Bowl.
Huge thank you to the Ravens, because without them, this could not be happening right now.
Daisy and Jim's first date was 12 years ago at a party when the Ravens won their only championship. Today, the 49ers are favored, Sal.
Ron, it's day six of a standoff in Alabama between authorities and a man holed up in a bunker with a five-year-old child. Police say Jimmy Lee Dykes took the boy from a school bus after killing the driver.
Shannon, we had a press conference earlier this morning that was rescheduled for the afternoon, but we did get an email from a